Last time we started to talk about the sacrament of confirmation, and I would like to continue that subject. It's, of course, confirmation is one of the seven sacraments. It is one which is given after the use of reason in most cases, although baptism is the only thing that really is required for certain. It's an interesting comment made by the author here. It says, too many regard confirmation as simply a religious rite which they are expected to receive soon after their first communion. Okay. Without any reference to its implications. Many parents seem even to think that after their child receives the sacrament of confirmation, it needs not pursue further the study of catechism or of religion. You're done. You're confirmed. Okay, so anyway, so those are some preconceived notions, some incorrect notions about the sacrament. So he talks about three particular sacraments, and there's a particular commonality between them. It's baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. Okay. There's something common to all three, and the thing that's in common is that there is an indelible mark that's made on the soul. He comments that, of course, by holy orders, it's one of the things that they talk about in holy orders, that you are a priest forever. It lasts into eternity. But he also makes a comment that by baptism, we are made a child of God forever. Okay. And by confirmation, we are made a soldier of Christ forever. That's what the indelible mark indicates. It lasts into eternity. It will be a mark that will be seen even in heaven. Even in heaven. Oh, thank you. So we become soldiers of Christ, and we become soldiers of Christ forever. And it will be for those in heaven. Those who have these marks, it will be for their honor, for their glory in heaven. For some person who's in hell, it will be to their detriment, because they received these sacraments and they have these marks on their soul, and they did not correspond to the graces that were given to them by these sacraments. Comments 2, he says, the relationship to God as his child or as a soldier is terribly real. Okay. A lot of people like to think, well, it's just metaphorical, it's just a nice idea, it's kind of, you know, the author likes to write about it and make it sound good. It's not just that, it's real. It's real. It's not just some poetic description. Okay, it's a real thing. And it says that it has consequences that should be felt every day. Okay. It says, particularly when you examine your conscience before receiving the sacrament of penance, because you ask yourself, have I been behaving as a soldier of Christ? Have I been doing that? Have I been corresponding to this rank that I have within the church? Okay. So he first talks about the sacrament of baptism a little bit. I seem to be losing steam here with this marker. I'll try one of these. When you are received in the church and you are, of course, given the sacrament of baptism, you become a child of God. prior to that, prior to being a child of God, you are simply a human creature. You're a human creature before you are baptized. Okay? And there is no way, humanly speaking, that you could be raised to the level of being a child of God by any natural means. Okay. So it's something supernatural where you are raised to the level of being a child of God. And that child of God is not due to your nature, so therefore it has to be by an adoption. By an adoption. You're adopted children of God. Okay? God has adopted you as his child. Which is, you know, we have to realize that and think about the implications of that. Now, we become children of God, adopted children of God by the sacrament of baptism. And so we are seeing that the evil one is now being cast out and the person is being dedicated to God. And, of course, there's an exorcism to indicate that. It says, the exorcism says, depart, evil spirit, and give place to the Holy Ghost. That's one of the things that happens in the sacrament of baptism. It says, the sacrament of confirmation by which you are a child of God or enrolled in the army of Christ needs to be taken far more seriously than it is by those who have received it. Okay? It's not just a casual thing. It's not just a thing where, okay, we go through the ceremony, we have... the bishop is there. It's a very wonderful occasion because we have the bishop with us. We go through the ceremony, and afterwards we have a reception and maybe a meal and a nice cake, and we have everything all decorated very nicely in the reception hall. And then afterward, and we see people that maybe we haven't seen for a while, and we have a nice little social gathering together, and then we go home, and then it's all over. No, that's not it. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we do. Okay. It says, Holy Scripture speaks of the soul as being sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. It suggests the indelible mark, which your catechism refers to, that you have received by confirmation. It says, by confirmation, you actually become a soldier in the kingdom of God in this world and are so registered in heaven. Okay. You are a soldier. You are a soldier, and you are a soldier forever. Which means that you must exhibit in your life all the qualities of a soldier. You have to be loyal to God, even when others do not fight for the promotion of the cause of God. Okay. And you can think about the way things are going on in the world today. You have to be such you are loyal and fight, even though there are many who do not. You must be prepared to die for Christ as the good soldier of any nation must be ready to die for his country. Okay. You fight as a soldier, and it must not be altogether on your own behalf, because we must never think of a man enrolled in the army of his country as fighting for himself. There's plenty of reason, however, for one to fight for his own protection from many dangers which surround him. So it's not for himself that he fights, but it's for his country. Confirmation is not just for the individual. It's for the church. It's for the church. Okay. Oftentimes we think that, well, it's supposed to make me strong so I can fight, you know, so that I won't be overcome by the enemy. Well, it's true that that's the case, but it's more than that. You're fighting not just for yourself, but for what you represent, the Catholic Church. You are a representative of the Catholic Church. And, of course, when someone in the army or someone in the military, he has a uniform on, it's not that that's what he's wearing. He represents something much bigger than himself. He represents the military of the country, which he is representative of, and he fights for the country. Okay. So, it says, even as a faithful child of Christ, even as a faithful child of God, he seeks to retain his intimate association with God. We should fight against the evils that assail us. But as a soldier, we're expected to let our light shine before men. As soldiers, we are expected to look for opportunities daily to win others for Christ. We can do this very forcibly by our example, which will win our neighbors' respect first for us and then for the church of which we are members, for Christ, whose soldiers we are and whose cause we are seeking to promote. Okay. We have to realize that we are here then to fight for our Lord, to win others for him. It's an important thing to think that you're winning others for Christ, that you are an example that will shine forth. And confirmation makes us do that. Okay. Confirmation helps us so that we can fight the ideas of human respect, of wanting to fit in with everybody else. You know, it's interesting to see how strong peer pressure is these days. It wants to draw everybody in to think the same way, act the same way, behave the same way. You always want to be on the winning team, so you have to fit in, so therefore you have to fit in with everybody else. And confirmation says no. No, we fight for Christ, we fight for his church, we are members of his church. We are supposed to be loyal members of his church and representatives of his church. So it's a really important thing. So, you know, the bishop comes to do this, and of course, he comes to do that in order to help us. And it's interesting where you go. It's interesting, we'll see in a little bit. We talk about where we go as Catholics. You know, the priest has a certain influence for the faithful, the priest and the hierarchy. But oftentimes, the priest has contact with the faithful. But the people who are the faithful, they are such that they go out and they are in contact with others who the priest usually never has contact with. You're out in the trenches. You're out there making contact with people who maybe have little knowledge of the faith, little understanding of the faith. Okay. And you can make an impact on them. You can make an impact on them. They're the ones that see what the Catholic faith is in practice by seeing you. And so it's an important thing to remember that when you're out there, that you are what they see in you, they are connect with the Catholic Church. It's interesting too, you know, and I sometimes remind penitents of that. If there are a group of people together and they're all doing the same thing, the fact that the Catholic did it is much worse than the rest of them. Because the Catholic knows, and the Catholic is supposed to set an example. And so if he doesn't do the right thing, then he scandalizes everybody around them and says, well, the Catholic doesn't behave any different than the non-Catholic. So he's got an obligation to set the example then to everybody else around him, and they look to him. They look to him. You know, they talk about some of the scandals within the church, and they all point at their finger at the church is what the problem is. And, of course, maybe an argument might be placed that, well, others do it also, but the thing is, the church is supposed to be the example. They're supposed to be the example, and if they don't toe the line, they don't show the example, well, there is a certain scandal that's involved in that. They have a standard that's higher. And they need to keep the standard high. So, okay. It says that instead of being an end of our catechism, it actually is a commencement. It's a beginning. Confirmation is a beginning. We begin our active religious practice out in the open. The apostles speak of the Catholic laity as a royal priesthood. That means the priesthood of the laity affected by the sacrament of confirmation. Okay. Just as the apostles went out after Pentecost and converted, so you after confirmation are such that you are more out in the open, and you are such that you are meant to give that example to others. It says, every soldier of Christ must be an apostle of Christ and must work for him, Christ in his home, in his neighborhood, in places of work, during recreation, in other words, at all times. Okay. The gospel is meant to be preached by every creature. and it can be preached to every creature only by the laity. As I mentioned, the priest can preach only to those who patronize his church, but the laity can preach and live the gospel among all the relatives and acquaintances. They not only can do this, but he says they must do this. Okay. If they do not do it, they are traitors. They are against Christ according to his own words. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Okay. So, it's fairly strong words, you know. Not only can they do this, they must do this. They have an obligation to do this. It says, ponder seriously every day of your life the question, what kind of a soldier of God have I been? Okay. This is written in the early 1950s. It says, we are living in days when the whole world is in confusion. Okay. That was before the council. Okay. I'm sure you would say even more now. The whole world is in confusion. And when children of God and soldiers of Christ alone hold out any lasting hope for the future. It says, the prophet of old declared that the evils and general bewilderment of his day were due to the absence of the knowledge of God. Okay, the same is true today. 2/3 of your own countrymen do not know the ABCs of religion. It's probably higher than that today. It says, your representatives in Washington, in fact, there's one that's the president who's giving his address this evening. Having been reared in a pagan world in accordance with pagan standards, cannot even think rationally on the subjects of religion and morality. Okay. Their ideas of religion and morality are very skewed. And the idea of the norms, or the rules of morality are very different for them. Morality, by its nature, requires a norm or a rule. Okay. Something has to guide it. Something has to determine that morality. And of course, we understand that that morality has its source in God, who is unchangeable, immutable. Which means that the morality is something that's fixed and immutable. It's not changeable. However, that's not the way morality is viewed by people today in general. That's also because of the fact that they don't understand where authority comes from. We understand very clearly that authority finds its source in God. According to the modern mind, the authority finds its source in the people. Because the people who are governing receive their power from the consent of the governed, according to the modern democracies. Okay. And so thus, morality then is determined by the people. If authority comes from the people, according to them, then morality comes from the people also. So they determine morality. And so it's whatever the majority think that determines what morality is. And they don't want any individuals trying to, quote unquote, impose their morality on others. Okay. And so you have this pagan kind of society which is causing problems. It's a horrible thing. And of course, we're living in this kind of a world. It's a mixed up, confused world, where they don't understand what morality is, who determines it, what we must do that, of course, makes it in our daily lives. You know, we have a terrible problem with all kinds of situations now with regard to marriage, with regard to life, beginning and ending life. We have all kinds of strange ideas about these things which are very basic. And, of course, we know what the truth of the matter is, and it can't change. It can't change. And if we have to stand up for what's right and if we have to suffer because of it, so be it. That's what a soldier does. That's the way a soldier has to be. It says, the madmen of Europe who have set the whole entire world on fire are the products of an irreligious philosophy which has permeated the earth, emanating altogether from the powers of darkness. Okay, they're talking about the ideas of from Europe, when, of course, this whole all of these things are going on, which are destroying mankind. We can see even the problems of, like, for instance, the French Revolution. We can see the problems of Protestantism. All these things have caused great difficulties in the world today. And you can trace their roots all the way back into these kinds of situations. And you can trace many of the problems all the way back to Luther and those who were at the time of Luther. So you can see these problems. The problems are there. And they can be very insidious as well. Very insidious problems. And we can be taken in by them, and we are more and less infected with these problems. Okay? The problems of liberalism, the problems of the ideas that subjectivism, they're in us. They're in us because we're living in this whole situation. You know, they don't ask, what's the truth? What do you think? How do you feel? Okay, that's always the questions. That's typically the questions that are asked. How do you feel? What do you think? Does it really matter? Doesn't it matter what's the truth? You know, that's what matters. It's not what I think or what I feel. But just asking the questions kind of indicates that's what people think is important. Or they will try to manipulate public opinion by all kinds of emotional means to stir everybody up. Okay, it's a way of trying to move the people in such a way that they can get done what they want. And it's done very artfully. And they've had a lot of experience of doing it. It's because they're working from the opposite side, they're able to affect people in such a way, and it takes us also with it, more or less. I will show you just a little diagram, just here. You start out with the intellect, which is the highest of the faculties. The intellect first. The next faculty, which is the intellectual appetite, is the will. Okay. You hear a lot spoken of that. Okay. There are other faculties of man as well, that of the passions and the emotions. Okay, these are all meant to work in harmony. The upper faculties meant to direct the lower faculties, direct and control the lower faculties. However, since the fall of Adam, there has been this revolt, even within ourselves, where the lower faculties are such that they become dominant and direct us in ways in which we should not be directed. The passions and emotions affect us in such a way that it sometimes overwhelms the intellect and the will, and we end up acting based on passions and emotions. Okay. We need to have this understanding that the intellect and the will are meant to direct our activities. The passions and emotions are meant to be subject to the intellect and the will. It's not to say that these are bad, they're wrong, but they have to be under the direction of the intellect and the will. Okay. And so what happens today, though, is many people, they let the lower faculties, especially the passions and the emotions, besides that they direct, they end up controlling everything. They control everything. And so they try to encourage the passions, encourage the emotions, in order that they get people to act in a certain way. Okay. It's not that they see clearly, it's not that they understand clearly, it's not that they then act according to what they see and understand. No, it's what they feel. How do you feel? What do you think? It's meaning subjectivism. You know, in this idea of an objective reality, for modern man is gone. Okay. The idea of an objective reality is gone. You know, the idea that God is God, he's revealed a religion, that religion has been given to us, that religion is given to us through Jesus Christ and his church, and that church was founded by him, and that we follow what he says because we know that to be objectively true. It's not just some emotions. It's not just make us feel good. We don't come to church in order to feel good. Okay? Protestant churches, you go to church because you want to feel good. Okay? It makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside. And every once in a while, you have to go for a pep rally to kind of get all warmed up and all moving in the right direction. Okay? Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. You know? I mean, there's a certain reality, yes, but I mean, it's not just emotion. It's not just emotion. Because there are times when there are difficult things that happen, and our religion tells us how to deal with them and how to sustain ourselves in those difficult times. The objective reality keeps us going in the right direction, and our understanding of it and with the intellect and the will keeps us going even when difficult times. There are difficult times that everyone has in their life, and our religion helps us in order to deal with that properly. Okay? And we're given that grace through the sacrament. Confirmation is one of the sacraments that gives us that grace in order to deal with those difficult times, to be a soldier of Christ. Okay? Because as you can probably guess from what you're seeing today, things are not getting any better. And that's because the world is going farther and farther away from God. It's just that's just the fact of the matter. And so even more so today do we need to draw on the strength that we have from the sacrament of confirmation to be strong soldiers. We're going to have to continue to fight the battle. It's not going to get any easier. Okay? You know, we just aren't going to all hold hands together and everything's going to be wonderful. That's not the way it is. The enemy wouldn't want it that way. He can't tolerate it being that way. He's going to throw monkey wrenches into everything in order to try to get his way. We have to remain strong. We have to remain strong. Okay. So it says, too, you know, we consider what will save the world. It's interesting, what will save the world? What will make the world so that it will be able to turn around from all the upheaval and everything? And it's only the truth given to us through the church. We can't expect a solution to the problems we have today given to us by the people who are in charge. Because the kinds of solutions that we are given today are typically natural solutions. They're solutions that are such that they're only on the natural level. And if you have a supernatural problem, okay, the problem is supernatural, the solution also is supernatural. Okay, there has to be a correspondence. We have a terrible supernatural problem today. It's the one in which there's the crisis of the faith, And of course, people are leaving far, getting farther and farther away from the faith. And they're doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing because of it. And because of that, you know, we have many problems in the world today. They say that war is a punishment for sin. Okay? And we keep seeing the wars kind of rumbling more or less. And we can probably only expect more because look at what this kind of sin is going on in the world today. The only solution is a supernatural solution because if the problem is sin, then the only solution is one which will turn us around, away, turn us away from sin and turn us towards God. And so that requires a certain strength, and it's not for someone who's weak. They won't be able to handle it. And so we need to use the sacrament of confirmation in our daily life. And it has to be a part of our daily life. That's why he says, have I behaved as a soldier of Christ? How have I behaved today as a soldier of Christ? You know? Have I gone along with the world and the worldly ideas and the worldly things? Or have I been strong in my faith? Have I done the things that are working according to my faith? You know, it's interesting when you talk about things like the modern media, especially movies, TV, these videos, these kinds of things. It's interesting. People have a certain yardstick that they measure these kinds of things and decide, well, whether or not they can, you know, watch the TV or watch the movie or whatever. It's, well, it doesn't have any impurity in it. It doesn't have violence in it. And it doesn't have vulgarities in it. Okay. So check, check, check. It's okay to watch. There's something else that's also embedded in most of these movies and videos and things. It's a certain worldly spirit. Okay. It's a certain worldly spirit that's in them, which is counter to what the way a Catholic should live. You can have a blocker that might block out vulgar language. You can have a blocker that can block out maybe impurity in what you see. But do you have a blocker that blocks out worldliness? I think it's the on-off button. That's the blocker. Okay. Aside from the fact that many people waste a lot of time doing this, there are things that it changes the way people think. It alters the way their standards and the way they think, and to the point where they agree with the maxims and the ways of the world. And they've kind of put down their weapons as soldiers of Christ and said, well, I think we can make peace with the world. We can make peace with the world. You know, as soon as you make peace with the world, you have given up your Catholic faith. And that's what people kind of want to do today. Many of them want to do today. They want to make peace with the world. You know? And so that's things that we need to think about as we think about the sacrament of confirmation. It's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. And we need to take it seriously, and we need to live our life as soldiers of Christ. And so that's very important for us. And when you think about the sacrament, that we need to understand the impact. As I say, it's not just some ceremony that we go through and have a nice social event afterwards, and then we go home. No, no. It's also very interesting, too, that when you get married, anyway, you can draw the right conclusions anyway, I think. When you get married, before you get married, you have to make sure that both parties are confirmed. One could wrongly conclude that they must be getting ready for battle. No, but there are certain crosses in the marriage that require one to have the strength of a soldier in order to be able to withstand them. Because, you know, you undertake heavy responsibilities as husband and wife. And, of course, it's not something that's for children, either on the natural level or the supernatural level. Okay. And so it requires a strength of soul in order to be able to carry those responsibilities well. And so the sacrament of confirmation is something that's important that they both have before they get married. And that's one of the things that when you go through all the paperwork, one of them is, have you been confirmed? So you don't want to enter into that state ill-equipped for the struggles that are ahead. You know, and it's not against one another, it's with one another, okay? But it's a beautiful sacrament, but it's one that gives us quite a bit of strength, a tremendous amount of strength. But we have to then rely on that, and we have to correspond to that once we have been confirmed. So the sacrament is needed, and I know that some are being confirmed earlier than you might normally do it because of the fact that the difficulties are out there. The difficulties are out there, and they need the strength of soul in order to sustain themselves in the difficulties. Some are, I think it's maybe we've confirmed probably about 2 years after First Communion, so it might be third grade or so when children are confirmed. But the difficulties are out there, and they're facing them earlier and earlier. So they need that strength of soul. Okay. All right. Are there any questions? The will? The will is a faculty of the soul in which we decide that we are going to do what's right and to avoid what's evil. Okay. And so when the intellect has an understanding of what is out there, it's presented to the will, and the will has to make a decision to go one way or the other. Okay. So, anyway, it has to make that decision. And, of course, the will can be influenced by the passions, the emotions, to do the wrong thing. If it's under control of the passions and emotions, it can easily be such that it's pulled the wrong way. The enemy works from the bottom up. God works from the top down. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we can stop here and I can say a prayer and I can give you a blessing and then we can go up for compline.